Hello, everybody. This is Terry and Renee Mize.
Hello, everyone.
We want to give you a quick missionary minute. You know, anytime I'm in the jungle, just God's creation and all the things that are in there, some things are nice, some things are not so nice. It always reminds me of when I was 18 years old and I was in the jungles of Panama living with an Indian tribe that didn't wear clothes. And there were witch doctors there, lots of witch doctors in the jungle. And so the tribal people had told me, they said, now listen, if you come down the path, because you know, through a jungle, there maybe only be one trail. They said, if you're coming down the trail and you meet another group, if it's a witch doctor, you need to step off the trail because the law of the jungle is always the greatest man maintains the trail and the weaker man gets off the trail and lets the greater man pass. And I said, well, that's not going to happen because I am the greater man, so I'm not stepping off the trail. He can step off the trail. And that happened several times when I was down there just as an 18-year-old. And of course, I've gotten a lot meaner and a lot tougher since then and got a lot more confidence in God, but I have never stepped off the trail for a witch doctor. I will never step off the trail for a witch doctor. And listen, in your life, don't you do that either. If cancer's coming at you, if disease is coming at you, if some gunman or robber or shooter is coming at you, don't you step off the trail. You double down on the name of Jesus and the Word of God, and you be what God called you to be, more than a conqueror.
Amen.
We love you. God bless you. Thank our partners for sending us around the world so we can preach the gospel and help people and lift them up and get them saved and get them blessed and get them helped and cause them to be more than conquerors. So all of heaven is watching the earth all the time, looking for a man or a woman that's going to use the Word of God, that's going to speak the Word of God, that's going to move on the Word of God. And when they do, heaven moves.
We're so glad you have joined us today. We are thrilled to talk to you on More Than Conquerors program. Terry Mize Ministries has got 55 years, darling, you being Terry Mize, out on the mission field.
And counting.
And we're not through yet. So this is exciting season as Terry is getting ready to release his new book on pulling down strongholds, which is really, you know, from the Word of God. I mean, it's actual scripture that's what we're commanded to do is pull down strongholds. And here you've got all this experience of doing that on the mission field and then a lifestyle of pulling down strongholds.
Sure.
But the one you're talking about there is in, you know, 2 Corinthians 4 over there is actually dealing with the stronghold of wrong thinking.
Yes, absolutely. Thoughts that kill.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's what we want to talk to you about, is thoughts. Your thoughts determine life and death, life or death for people. And we see it now pronounced in our generation more than we've ever seen it before,
that's very true.
People are thinking determines whether they live or die. And here it has been in the Word of God for centuries.
Yeah. God said, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Isn't that
amazing? It's extremely important that we control our tongue.
Yeah.
It's extremely important we control our thinking.
That is absolutely the truth. You know, back in the 70s, when Terry and Jackie and Dean and I learned things about the Word of Faith, and we were really hungry. Y'all were on the mission field when we met you.
Right.
And Dean and I were on staff at Lakewood Church with Pastor John Osteen, and they came up for their annual missions convention. And we were all kind of out there by ourselves, the only ones.
Yeah.
We were the kind of the, sometimes in some groups, the black sheep, you know, of the group, because we actually believed that what God said was the truth.
We were the pioneers, and the pioneers take the arrows.
Yeah, you know, and we were young. We didn't have all the polish things you're supposed to have, I guess, in the ministry. But
like we do now.
Like we do now. But back then, it was just so, it was just life or death for us. It was whether the kids ate or not.
No.
It was whether there was food in the fridge or not.
And the thing is, Renee, if the word of faith, what we're calling it,
right,
didn't work,
yes,
we love God anyway.
Yeah, true.
If prosperity didn't work,
we
gave to God anyway.
Yeah.
We paid our tithes faithfully.
Yeah,
we gave our offerings faithfully.
Already.
We
yeah.
loved God faithfully. We read our Bible. We prayed. We went to church faithfully.
Every time the doors were open.
So we didn't get in this for what people call a get-rich-quick scheme.
Right,
or a name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and see it and say
no,
it.
No.
We didn't get in it for that. We got in it because, God said this. This is the word. This
will actually work.
And yet we got so many, when I said, well, go, we take the arrows.
Yeah.
We took the arrows, not from the sinners. We took the arrows from the church.
The church people.
I mean, from your parents, my parents,
yeah,
grandparents, preachers, pastors,
yes,
church people, friends.
Right.
Just said, well, you're out of your ever-loving mind.
Well, I remember dear, dear, wonderful saint of God lady in our church. She said, well, honey, this just sounds like you're telling God what to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I said,
oh,
I don't know where that came from, but I responded back to her. I said, you know what? I'm just trying to do what God told me to do. And here I had two sick little boys and a husband that wanted to go
want
in the ministry.
Oh, you want your babies healed.
Yeah, I wanted my babies healed, food in the refrigerator, and Dean Garner to
the
have a place
basic needs
to preach.
Of man.
Yeah,
roof
here we
head,
are.
Clothes on your
yeah.
back, food on your
here
table, take care of your family, and have a healthy body. That's all
yeah.
we wanted.
Yeah, here we
and
are.
And we wanted to go help
later.
People.
Yeah, here we are. Almost, yeah.
Well, you know the story where I went in. I mean, I flew in from Mexico because my grandmother was dying.
Right.
Doctors gave her 20% chance to live through the night. She had diabetes. She was blind because of it, lost her sight because of it.
Right.
Her kidneys had total failure because of it. And the doctors said she won't make it through the night, 20% chance, call the family in. They called me in Mexico and said, you get here, your grandmother's dying. I said, no, she won't die before I get there, and I can't come for about 2 weeks. They said, dear, you've got to come. I said, I decree in the name of Jesus, she will not die, she will live. And they thought I was nuts, mean, weird, strange, religious, goofy. And so 2 weeks later, I go.
Hard-hearted on top of that.
And I go straight into the hospital.
Yeah.
And prayed for her. Didn't talk to anybody. My mom was in the room. My aunt was in the room. You know, but I didn't say, hello, how are you? I didn't even say hi to my grandmother. I just walked straight into her bed. And she couldn't see me, but she could recognize my voice. And I said, do you want to die? That was my greeting to her. Do you want to die? Thank you for watching today. Renee and I always enjoy ministering to you. And one thing about the word, it works. I've always said about our books and tapes and products that there's no theory back there. It's 54 years of third world missionary evangelism that I know for a fact works. You know, the COVID thing is about wrapped up, thank God. And different restrictions are lifting around the world. And so we're beginning to move out around the world again, which is what we've done for 54 years. And so we want to invite you to partner with us, to hook up with us, to go around the world with us. You know, in our as far as teaching and training, we train missionaries, we train pastors. I've had pastors' conferences in country after country after country, which is something God spoke to me to do when I was just a teenager, to train ministers. And so we've done that. But we also have open-air crusades and different kind of crusades in different nations with healings and miracles and salvations. So we want to invite you to be partners with us as we have partnered with other ministries all of our lives. And we pray for our partners daily. We'll pray for you daily. So make it a consideration. Make it a prayer. See what the Holy Ghost says to you. And we'd be glad to have you partner with us and go around the world with us. God bless you. I said, do you want to die? That was my greeting to her. Do you want to die and go to heaven and be with Jesus and granddad? I said, if you do, that's fine. It's your choice. But if you don't, then I'm going to tell you what to do. And if you'll do what I tell you, you can get up and go home and cook me something to eat. Now, it sounded hard.
Yeah, like I said, not
I
a lot of polish.
I wanted to get her attention.
No, right.
I didn't go in there and say, oh, bless your...
Yeah.
Because that's what... That I had sent Jackie
up. That gets
up.
People killed.
I had sent Jackie
died.
Up there, and so I called her and said, how's my grandma doing? She said, well, Terry, I'll go in there and preach the word to her and tell her what the word says, and faith rises. Said, then your mother and your aunts come in and say, oh, now you've lived a long life, and Jesus loves you, and he's taking you home. And, you know, so I wanted to get through that.
Yeah, right.
And
no joke.
And I prayed for her, and I mean, within 3 days, she had her, the next day she had her sight back. She had, I said, I prayed for it. That's not even true. I gave her some scriptures to confess with me.
Right.
She confessed with me. And then I went to her house and went to sleep. Came back the next day. We did it again the next day. And she could see me the next day. She said, I see you. And then within 3 days, she went to the house, lived another 10 years. And my mother and my aunt followed me out in the hallway. They're both gone now. I wouldn't tell this story, but since they came, they followed me out in the hallway, and my mother looked at me and she said, I'd rather see mother dead. And I said, what did you say?
Yeah.
She said, I'd rather see mother dead. I said, what brought that on? She said, because you just walked in there and pushed God around and made him heal her. I said,
and who thinks that you could really do that?
I must be a pretty hot
push hot God tamale. Around. Yeah.
I said no. I went in there and reminded God of His word. He said,
that's
"Put
right.
me in remembrance of
that's
my
right.
word."
That's
right. What I did. I put Him in remembrance of His word. I prayed for her, and God healed her. But that religious devil.
Yeah. The stronghold.
And my mom was the church lady of the church ladies. You know, I mean, she was the. I mean, she knew she well anyway.
But that's a stronghold.
That religious spirit.
Yeah, religious spirit.
I'd rather see mother dead.
Isn't that
astounding?
And then
we'd come in, and the kids would be there, and my grandmother or my aunt or my mother, they'd say, and you did the same thing with your family.
Yeah.
Said, oh, listen, your kids are going to get the measles or the chicken pox or whatever.
Yeah, we had lots of conversations.
And I said, they are? And they said, yeah, because they were playing with the cousins today, and we found out they got the measles or what. I said, well, that's okay. I said, that's not going to be a problem. So what do you mean it's not going to be a problem? I said, well, we don't get sick.
Right.
And then here they go, wow, who do you think you are?
Oh, my goodness, did we ever hear that?
Yeah, because they think you're elevating yourself, that you're prideful, that you're arrogant.
Right.
I bet you that Word of Faith people believe the word, probably are called arrogant more than any other term.
That's true.
You're arrogant. You're arrogant. You're cocky. You're hard.
Yeah.
And all we were doing is we were struggling to stay alive.
Yeah.
We were struggling to keep our babies fed and out of the hospital and
isn't that the truth?
Pay our bills and stay healthy.
I mean, we didn't have
win souls.
We didn't have a car.
No, we didn't either for a while.
I had two little boys that were in and out of the emergency room till they knew us literally by name.
Sure.
I had half a refrigerator door. With medicine.
And as long as you said, look what God's
kept,
done, the church said, oh, yeah, honey, isn't that great?
Well, you could find plenty of people to agree with you on the thinking. Mm-hmm. We're talking about pulling down strongholds, thinking that, well, you know, we're just sick, and you don't ever know, you know, if it's the God or the devil.
Right,
God's trying to teach you something, or the devil's really trying to hurt you. So, I mean, we heard all kinds of doctrines on what trials and tribulations were about.
Sure.
But when we found out that, like you said, you know, in your book here, about we don't give any place to the devil.
Right.
And then we had to find out.
So the arrows came from the Christians.
Yeah. isn't that crazy? We had to find out that what the devil's kingdom brought was sickness and disease, lying, killing, you know, deception. All of these things to try to hurt and harm like Jesus said they did.
Sure.
And then we ended up realizing that if we gave place to your kids are going to get sick just like everybody else's, you need to buy your medicine on sale like I had family members
do. As long as you were,
as long as you were
going along with the crowd, with the flow, doing what everybody
That's
else
right.
did, you were okay. But if you bucked the system.
Yeah.
You know, my son Lynn's here with us today, and Lynn's been on so many trips to me overseas. He can tell you that I have had pastors' conferences where I'm paying their food, I'm paying their hotel, I'm paying everything.
Absolutely.
And I get up, and when I make the statement to those pastors that God is a good God, they just go, and that God doesn't make you sick, that God doesn't punish you, that God doesn't do bad things. I've had them stand right. Lynn can tell you, they stand right up in the meeting and fight with me, just argue with me. And I have to just tell them to.
Isn't that something?
One guy said, hey, you see all these pastors in here? And he said, yeah, I see them. I said, they all came to hear me. They didn't come to hear you. I said, this is my meeting. I said, I paid for this meeting. That chair you're sitting in, I paid for.
Yeah.
I said, you're sleeping in my bed. I'm paying for your hotel room. You're eating my food. I'm paying for your food. And I said, now, if you want these guys to all listen to you, you need to go down the street and hire you a building, rent you a building, and you preach. But I said, they all came to hear me. I paid for this building.
Right.
Sometimes you just have to
Well, you do, and like we were saying, is that when y'all had to be so tough, there wasn't time to smooth out the rough edges, because it was such a desperate day-to-day thing. But I want people to understand the reason it was like that back in the 70s was because we were determined to not be like the religious people of our day, the negative side of these things, in that we were not going to tell anybody our needs. Mm-hmm. We weren't going to be beggars and beg for a place to preach. We weren't going to go around and act like we were poor, pitiful ministers.
And that's what they wanted you to do.
And that's what the, you know,
you should have come ask them for money, they'd have been happy about it.
Yeah, right. And yet people would come and say, well, do y'all need anything? And we'd say, oh, no, all our needs are met. Thank you. You know, God's blessing us.
And then they'd say, dimes to rub together.
Yeah,
but you're confessing what the Word says, that my God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
And they're wanting you to tell them, yes, I need this, I need that. They'd have been happy about that. But when you tell them, no, thank you, God meets all my needs, makes them mad. Well, I had a millionaire chase me down the road, down the street one day, on Main Street of Odessa, Texas, with his hand in his pocket saying, Terry, you need anything? Need anything? I mean, I'm about to drive out of the town, go to Mexico and preach.
Yeah.
And he follows me all the way to my parked car. All the way to my parked car.
Yeah.
He's got his hand in his pocket saying, you sure you don't need anything? You need anything? I said, no, sir, I'm good. I didn't have any money at all, Renee. But I wouldn't have told him.
Yeah.
Because if I tell him, I violate my faith.
Yeah.
If I tell him, then I'm cutting God off. I'm tying God's hands.
Well, and we've looked to the arm of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Instead of to trusting God. And that was always a big thing.
You know
thing
what? He didn't
me.
Give me a dime, and we went to Mexico and came back and did good.
And did good.
Did good.
That's the testimony right there. That's the testimony right there. The thing that I see, Terry, was that we had to pull down the strongholds in our own mind of unbelief, fear.
Because we knew all those religious things.
We knew those.
We were raised in church.
Yeah, we knew
all.
We
knew all the stories about God, you know, makes you sick and teaches you a lesson and punishes you and holds you feet to the fire. And we knew, we saw all the pictures of Jesus holding the little sheep, and they said, you know, Jesus is such a good shepherd, and when a sheep gets out of line, he breaks his leg, and then he carries it around until it's healed, and then that sheep then depends on him from then on. We heard all those stories.
Yeah.
They just weren't scripture.
Well, one of our all-time favorite stories in regard to wrong thinking is that, you know, God lets the devil, he has the devil on a leash.
Oh.
And this was my all-time...
Dear pastor friend of mine said that all the time.
I hit the ceiling on this one. That God has the devil on a leash.
I have that in this book, pulling down his
strongholds. And every now and then he lets him off the leash just so he can go and bite you a little bit.
Yeah.
And beat you up a little bit.
Teach you a lesson.
Teach you a lesson. And then he puts him back on the leash and pulls him back. And I just thought, there is no way...
My God.
The God that I know would do something like that, especially for you.
And my God isn't making little baby sick.
You have got to be kidding me. And it was just an unbelievable dynamic. So we know from whence we speak on this.
Oh.
You know, from knowing how to pull down strongholds of worry, fear, doubt, unbelief, persecution, all of these things.
I had a friend later, became you and Dean's friend 2 years later, but he's a friend of mine, and he would preach so eloquently.
Yeah.
Eloquently.
Yeah.
He was a silver-tongued orator.
Right.
He could preach. I mean, it was like honey. I mean, he did so...
Yeah.
He just preached garbage.
Yeah.
And I told him one day, I said, you know, you are the best preacher I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
I said, the only problem is you preach garbage. I said, you make garbage sound so good. You
That's
preach
right.
the best garbage sermons I've ever heard in my life. I said, you know, why don't you preach the Bible? If you'd ever start preaching the Bible.
My goodness.
You know.
It's amazing how hard hell works both in the church and out of the church to stop the people of God, to stop the Word from profiting people in the earth.
Oh, yeah.
And these strongholds that the enemy has is to get you focused on something, anything, other than the promises of God.
Keep your attention off of what God's put.
Exactly.
You know, you heard me tell many churches this. Right? I go in churches and I say, what if not one person in this church was sick? What if not one of you, not one of you, you're not sick, your husband, wife's not sick, your kids are not sick, there is no sickness at all. I said, then what would you do with your faith that you're spending on getting you well? You could spend it on somebody else.
Right.
What if all your bills were paid? What if your house was paid for? Your car was paid for? All your bills are paid? What if you had no debts whatsoever? Then all that faith that you're using now to get you some money to pay your bills,
right.
you could use
what
that on missions, on the
then?
World, on soul winning, on the gospel.
Exactly.
But, you know, people don't think about that.
No. And they don't realize how their thinking has so limited, you know, like that scripture in Psalm 78, that they limited
Holy One of Israel.
Isn't that the truth? Well, and that same language you find in Psalm 78 is over in Hebrews 3 and 4.
Yeah, about the same people.
About the same people.
He's talking about the people over in Numbers 13
that
didn't go into the Promised Land.
He's still mad about it.
When Moses brought them right up to the Jordan River and then sent out 12 spies, and 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it. God's still mad in Psalm 78 talking about them, and he's still mad in Hebrews 3 and 4 talking about them. And he told those people in Hebrews 3 and 4, he said, don't you be like your fathers were when they provoked me in the day of provocation. And he's still ticked off about it.
Well, pulling down,
they limited the Holy One of Israel.
And that's where the limitation is and the stronghold in so many people's minds is that they limit God. Either through unbelief, doubt, fear, worry, environment, whatever.
And Psalm 78 tells you plainly, it says why they failed, why they were cowards. They were cowards. It says that they were armed for battle.
They had
They had their swords,
weapon.
They had their shields, they had their spears. They were ready for battle. They were armed and ready for battle, and it says, and they turned back.
Yeah.
They turned back and tempted the Holy One of Israel. They limited God. And it tells you why. It says, because they did not tell, or their parents did not tell the children, the
great
facts of what God had done for Israel.
And that, to me, that's the most astounding part of it.
I have parents tell me all the time, everybody tell me, I'm not going to cram this down my kid's throat. I say, you better.
You better.
The devil's going to cram his stuff down their throat.
Your kids won't know how to fight if you don't teach them the Word of God. And that's what we see in this generation,
well,
Terry.
Of course.
That's why they need your new book, Pulling Down Strongholds, is because we haven't taught, so many parents have not taught their kids how to fight.
Because if the parents haven't taught their kids the truth, then some school teachers are going to tell a little boy, you're really a little girl, and tell a little girl, you're really a little boy, then they're going to have surgery and mutilate their bodies and scar themselves for life and make themselves where they'll never have a baby.
They'll start so far under the barrel.
Because their parents didn't tell them
the truth
about the great facts of what God has done.
Well, and that's why, you know, I tell you this all the time. I said, all the more reason for us to preach the gospel.
Well, there you go.
We're not retiring. We're refiring. And to do the will of God and to help people understand how to pull down strongholds.
Absolutely.
We've talked to several people about this just in our travels and your preaching. And they're just saying, oh, my goodness, we need that now.
Well, I guess.
You know, and people have just welcomed the title from the Word of God, you know, because they know they've got to do it, darling.
Well, Paul makes it very plain there in 2 Corinthians. He said, we don't walk in the flesh.
Right.
We don't war in the flesh.
Right.
He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
No.
They're mighty through God.
Hallelujah.
To the pulling down of strongholds.
Mighty
casting down
through God.
Imagination.
Yes.
And bringing every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ.
Quote that verse again real slowly and just give people a chance to just absorb every single word of that.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh.
Yeah, we got an earth suit.
We don't war in the flesh.
Right. We're not busting noses.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not like everybody else. We're not just mere men.
Right.
We're not like everybody else.
Right.
They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's one. For the casting down imaginations. That's two. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. Number three, every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. The original language says arrested as a dangerous criminal. And when you have a thought and the devil comes and says, you're going to die of cancer or you're not going to make it or your kid's going to be this or your husband's going
to
be that.
For hell to give you that thought.
You should treat that like a dangerous criminal.
Yeah, somebody trying to break in your house.
You know, if you were an FBI agent, I mean, back when the FBI agents were American and godly, and you saw a bank robber, I mean, the number one 10 most wanted, downtown,
you wouldn't hang around and or just leave and say, oh, I'll catch him tomorrow. No, you would. Yeah. He's a dangerous criminal.
Yeah.
You would call in backup and you would arrest him immediately because
yes.
he's a dangerous criminal.
Exactly.
And that's what God says to do with those thoughts. He said, when that thought hits you and says, God won't do that, or God made you sick, or God's going to kill you, or God's giving you cancer, or God's going to kill your baby, or God's gonna not going to protect you, blah, blah, blah. Those things should just make you mad.
Right.
And you arrest it.
Right.
I'm not thinking that way. I don't think like that. My God doesn't do that. You know, in the old days when we were pretty young, people would come along and say, you know, God made my baby sick, and we'd just bristle.
Yeah.
You know, you and Dean and Jackie
and I. We immediately corrected
it. Don't blame my God for that.
Yeah, don't blame
my God
for that.
My God doesn't kill little babies. My God
doesn't
hurt people.
Yeah.
Because I have a relationship with him.
Right.
And when you say he's a bad guy and he's my father, I'm going to defend him.
I literally had people, when I would say that, say, no, we prayed over the kids and we're believing they're not going to get chicken pox or measles or whatever. Mm-hmm. People would say to me, well, I just, don't believe that. And I'll know this or that. Mm-hmm. And your kids are going to get it just like
that. You are.
No, but their thing was, your kids are going to get it just like everybody else.
Because you're mere men. We're all in this together.
But see, that's the weapons of our warfare are not carnal to get in that position.
My pastor told me when Jackie and I came in from the Army one time on leave, and our first baby, Lynn, was a little bitty guy. And we brought him back to we came back home for a few days. And then I left Jackie with Pastor and who was Jackie's aunt and uncle. And I ran a couple of errands and I came back later. And Jackie said, Lynn's running fever. And I said, all right, let's go home. We'll go home and pray. And Pastor ran over to me and said, Terry said, call us if Lynn doesn't get any better. Said we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and Jesus still didn't heal him. But because he didn't get any better. And I looked at my pastor and I said, why? What? I said, why would I call you? And I love these folks. This is my pastor.
It's just thinking. It's
I said, why would I
wrong.
Call you? I said, what? I said, you just told me you prayed and prayed and prayed and Jesus still didn't heal him. So why would I call you?
Yeah, really?
I said, man, if Jesus won't heal him and you can't help him, I need to rush to find somebody that can. I said, Lynn will be fine. I said, I'll tell you. And I took him home, and I set him on the couch, little bitty guy, and I propped him up with pillows and prayed for him. And I said, Lord, the pastor says you want to hurt that baby, and the church says you want to hurt that baby, and they say you're a murderer, and you want to kill him, and you do all this bad stuff. And I said, well, there he is. I said, if you want to kill him, just help yourself. Just take him right now. I said, but I happen to know that's not true. And that you're not a murderer, and you don't do that, and
that's
that you're
right.
a healer. So I thank you for healing him, and God just healed him just like that.
Well, in that action, you pull down strongholds.
Oh, absolutely.
Pull down strongholds. Well, we're so glad you have joined us today, and we're just thrilled that you've been able to share with us this time of conversation talking about the things of God.
And we're out of time.
And we're out of time, so we're going to remind you one more time that you are more than
conquerors.
Bye-bye.
Oh,